Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Lunch Hour Sports Podcast. Here with your hosts, Jacob Smedley,
Sam Bass,
Justin Rehem,
Peter Amarante,
and Nathan Romanoff.
Today, include the MLB playoff picture. We head towards the end of August. We'll take a look of who's in and who is not. Then, the NFL is starting up. We have our yearly divisional predictions, along with some dark horse candidates along the way. And finally, college football starts up, or has started. We'll take a look at some teams that are on the rise and could be players in the four-team playoff. Now, here's Sam Betts. Sam, what is going on in America's pastime the past few weeks?
Well, Jake, the MLB has been heating up. We're coming down to September baseball, which is getting toward the end of the season. We're getting close to the playoffs. It's a wild picture right now. We're going to go through all the division leaders, and then we're going to go into kind of like the wild card playoffs. We'll get into that a little later, but let's look at each division winner, and we're going to go with our beloved NL East. Right now, the Braves are ahead, 84 wins and 44 losses. They have a 13-game lead in front of our beloved Philadelphia Phillies, but we're going to get to them in a second. Don't you guys worry. The Braves have been hot. Really good pitching rotation. They have heavy hitters, Matt Olson, Ronald Acuna Jr. Ronald Acuna, who is up for the MVP this year. 20-plus home runs, I believe 70-plus RBIs, around 59 stolen bases. So he's been kind of like he's kind of been all around the field. Let me see who Ozzie Albies, of course. Austin Riley coming back into that four. I mean, this team looks really good. So, and they've shown why they are leading the NL East. Unfortunately, the Mets are in last. Not unfortunately, the Mets are in last. I love seeing that, and I didn't even really realize that until I looked at this. It's kind of hard to
now for those of you. Hold on, Sam. For those of you that are listening, cannot see his reaction. He said, "Unfortunately, this man was smiling the entire time." I can't get over that. Continue, Sam. Continue.
Just check out the behind the scenes for this man's reaction.
No, it was because I was gonna go.
Wait for the behind.
I was gonna go somewhere else, and then I looked at the Mets, and I saw that they're behind the Nationals. Which is kind of crazy because the Nationals have not performed well at all, really, this season. They've had very little success, but they are having some success right now as they are in front of the Mets by, like, one game. So I just thought that was a little tidbit that I'd like to sprinkle in there.
Do you think the Mets are just, at this point, like, screw this season, we need to rebuild for next season, so we're just going to say screw it, and we're just going to kind of put this season behind us and try building up for next season?
Yeah, that's kind of what they're going to have to do. Right now, they're in last place.
They already did that.
Yeah, they kind of already did by trading Max Scherzer.
Justin Verlander.
Yeah, they traded Verlander to the Astros for prospects. I mean, they got some really good prospects. Don't get me wrong. A lot of these guys have been performing really well in the minor leagues. But when you lose, like, two of your best pitchers, I mean, two guys with the same talent as Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander, and you're last in your division, yeah, you're putting pause on your plans to go to the playoffs, and you got to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how the Mets picked up Scherzer and Verlander, and, you know, they were hot there for a bit in the beginning of the season. Everyone's like, oh, it's going to be a really tight run in this NL East. It's going to be a really tight run. Phillies, Braves, Mets, and even Miami had a great beginning of the season, mid part of the season, but it was a tight race until, you know, Atlanta started pulling further ahead, and then the second place position was what the race was for. But, you know, it's crazy to see how far the Mets have dropped. Miami has kind of slumped down a little bit. So,
I mean, don't forget, this Braves team was also the 2021 World Series champion, and they've kept a lot of that same core from that championship team. So, I mean, The Braves are in a perfect position to go back to the playoffs and even, like, make a deep playoff run. The Mets, like you said, they were really hot in the beginning, and they had a really great team. I mean, they Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, like these guys are all stars. They had young guys like Mark Vientos, Brett Beatty, who were playing a lot of games in the MLB. It just did not. They just crumbled. They had mid season. Like they got back from the All-Star break and they broke down essentially. There were some games where they just could not play baseball, and that's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, and I think you look at this division, Sam. We'll just touch on the top few teams here while we talk about this playoff push and really kind of guide back into that conversation here. But you get the Braves right now sitting, and you mentioned a lot of the core. Right now, they are the best team in the majors, in my opinion. Their pitching is a bit questionable. They have some guys who are coming back from injury, but their offense can score on anyone at any time. And that's why I think at least heading into the playoffs, they're presumably going to clinch a spot, I would imagine, in the next few weeks. I mean, they're a team that will sit at the top and it really should be the team to beat. And then you look at the Phillies staying in that division. I mean, the top wild card spot right now, a slow start to the season, but the pitching has come around and the offense. Guys are starting to hit, the young guys are performing, and the veterans are really coming together. And this team right now, they went to the World Series last year. They have a chip on their shoulder, and right now I'd say they're a top 2-3 team in the National League as well.
It's really interesting you mentioned that, Jake. Because, you know, I've been watching the last couple of games of the Phillies as much as I can, keeping up with it. I have been thoroughly, thoroughly impressed with Bryson Stott's season. Talk about a young guy coming up in second year playing and just showing out, proving that he's grown so much. Alec Bohm has grown so much this season. Seeing guys like, you know, Edmundo Sosa, coming in and just showing up when it's necessary. I'd say arguably Bryson Stott is one of the most consistent guys on the team right now with his bats. Trey Turner, you know, has his hills up and downs, and you know, seeing Philly a couple weeks ago rally behind him, having that huge standing ovation, I just feel like the environment of Philly really brings out the best of this team. And like you said, they got a chip on their shoulder from last year's World Series run, and I just think that they if anybody. Now, this could be a long shot, but they are one or two of the only teams that could dethrone the Braves in this playoff run.
I would agree with that. I mean, right now, if we look at the division winners, I'm just going to mention this and then we'll move on. But, you have the Braves at 84-44. You have the Dodgers at 80-49. And you have the Brewers, the Milwaukee Brewers, at 73-57. I would argue to say that the Phillies are better than the Brewers. I think, like Jake said, was right. They're a top 1-3 team in the NL. I think they could overthrow the Brewers any day. I'd go to say that they are that Central Division for the NL has been. It's been interesting. We're going to talk about it.
It's improved from previous years. I will say that, especially with the play of the Cubs and the Reds. But I still agree with you that it's not the powerhouse, really, at least at the top, like the East and the West are.
Oh, no, definitely. And I mean, like you said, some of those teams that, like the Cubs and the Reds have been exciting to watch, but they're just not a powerhouse team. And they're not even leading the division. We can go to the Central right now. We'll segue into that. Right now we have the Brewers are in the lead, 73-57. The Cubs are in the mix. I would say that they're still in the mix. They're only four games behind. They're at 69-61. I would even go as far to say that the Reds are still in the mix at 68-64. They're six games behind. That's still workable. You can work with that. That's pretty easy to work with, especially with, I know we're coming to August and we're getting into September as the games get less and less, but that you can work with that. Like I said, Cubs team, like, people thought this Cubs team was just kind of going to be mediocre. I mean, they signed Dansby Swanson, they signed Cody Bellinger, Trey Mancini. Unfortunately, they designated him for assignment, but he was kind of like one of the other bigger guys that they signed. But I mean, they've been able to kind of put this team together. They've had some really nice young pitchers come in. I think Javier Assad is one who kind of comes to mind right now. Jordan Jordan Wicks, they just brought up, and he had 9 strikeouts in his outing, which was really nice to see. But I mean, this team's got to come together, and the Reds too have been really surprising. They've had a lot of young players: Ellie De La Cruz, Matt McClain, Spencer Steer. Those are 3 young guys who have kind of rejuvenated this Reds lineup and have made it something to be kind of reckoned with, a force to be reckoned with. And like,
De La Cruz is so much fun to watch.
They are, and those 2 teams, like the Brewers, like they don't really have a safe lead like the Braves do. So it's kind of just going to come down to who wants it more, who wants to kind of get out of the gutter and kind of come back into their own, their new playoff picture.
So you don't, let me just get this straight. Do you think that the Brewers are going to hang on, Sam? Let me just clarify this. Do you think the Brewers are going to win the NL Central? I'm just going to throw the question at you.
No, that's fine. I mean, the Brewers have had a lot of success coming in, and they've had some decent playoff appearances in recent years. What I'm saying is that I would not be surprised if the Cubs or the Reds kind of came in front and took the lead. I'm not really the greatest at predicting things, so I'm not going to try. I'm not going to try and do that. But what I will say is that I've seen crazier things happen, and I would not be surprised if the Cubs or the Reds. I'm kind of leaning more toward the Cubs, but I'm going to say that the Brewers' lead is not safe.
Yeah, I agree, and especially with the recent track record. I just wanted to make sure you sounded a bit unsure. And, of course, this Brewers team, we've seen it happen before where they've had some kind of lead or position in the playoffs and they've faltered out or they had a position. But I think this team is different, and I think they're going to hold on to this Central. I think it's very, very right to have that kind of hesitation. I think the Cubs are the second playoff team in this division. The Reds are still young, and I think that they're in the mix, but I think there are more experienced teams. You've got the Giants in the mix. The D-backs will get to that division in a second, but Reds are young. Their time, their future is building now. You know, if they make the playoffs, great. But this Cubs team, a lot of great veterans. Bellinger has been nearly close to his MVP form. But I don't think the pitching is enough to overthrow the Brewers, who not only have that great 1-2 punch of Woodruff and Burns, but also a resurgence of Christian Yelich. William Contreras has played very well. They have a lot of guys really stepping up on offense.
Yeah, that's very fair. And, you know, the Brewers team was really close to getting a wild card spot last year. It was pretty much neck and neck with them for the Phillies to get that last spot, and the Phillies were able to pull through. So they're able to be a playoff team. It's just kind of, can they hold on to that lead, and can they not falter like they did last season? If we move on now to the NL West, the Dodgers, 12 games ahead, 80-49. This team has won a World Series in the last 3 years. 2020 was their big World Series win in recent history. This team is great. This is a really good team. I really like the Dodgers. Mookie Betts, Will Smith, Freddie Freeman, who's also up for the NL, who could easily probably be up for the NL MVP. Mookie Betts, who could be up for the NL MVP. Max Muncy, a really strong team in pretty much all aspects. I would say like hitting, pitching, fielding. I'd say they're strong in all of those. The Diamondbacks have been an interesting team to watch this year. 69-62, like I said, they're 12 games behind. But I mean, like guys like Corbin Burns, Christian Walker, who's been a veteran, who's been in the MLB for a while, has been performing really well. Merrill Kelly, Zach Gallen, that's kind of their 1-2 punch. They've been really nice to watch. The Giants are kind of in the mix, 66-63. They're 14 games behind, but they're in the mix for that wild card spot. If we want to go in for that, talk about this division first, and then we can get into the wild card. What do you think about this West division, Jake?
Yeah, I think it's kind of stacked up. It's been very interesting to see the progression of the Diamondbacks, another team that very similar to the Marlins in the East side. They've kind of like petered off where they started off really hot. And then they kind of cooled off in the middle of the season. A lot of young players dominant pitching. You mentioned Zach Gallen, a potential NL Cy Young Award winner. But, you know, they had their slumps over the season, right now holding on to the third wild card spot, which we will get to. But that's been interesting to see. Looking at the division as a whole, we talk about the Mets earlier. The San Diego Padres, 61-70. We didn't even mention the Cardinals in the Central, just how, like, you've got three playoff teams last year. Really disappointing, and it's hard to pick which team. Of course, the Cardinals have the worst record out of the three. But three teams, two out of the three, really all three have big payrolls. But you're talking about the Mets and the Padres, who spent all of the money in the offseason, and two out of the three are in last place. The Padres are in, you know, right above the Rockies, which is not much to say there, just barely above the worst team in the National League. But I mean, that I think that's a big storyline. Of course, we knew how good the Dodgers were probably going to be. The Diamondbacks, of course, their resurgence with Corbin Carroll and the young players there. The Giants knew that they were going to be in and around 500, a little over 500, competing for a playoff spot. But the fall of the San Diego Padres, I think, is the focal point at this point in the season.
I think it was that guy last year. I think it was his fault, who came up with that really retarded song when they thought they were going to beat the Phillies. I think it's all his fault. No, but it's, Pop, I mean, it's impressive.
Manny's going to cruise, and Bryce is going to lose. That's what's in. Well, you know what's in? You know what's in? They're 9 games under 500. Yeah, they're not good.
Before we get to the AL, let's get to the – we'll look at the wild card quick. So, yes, the Phillies, our beloved Phillies, on top, 3.5 games in front of the wild card, which is perfect. Perfect lead. I love that. And they also swept – they also just swept the Cardinals, which is perfect. I love that.
If you can't tell, listeners, someone is a Phillies fan over here. But continue, Sam.
I would say that – well, I don't know if I'm going to count Justin because Justin's not a really big baseball guy. I would say four of us, all four of us, are big.
Sam, he's been to a game.
He has been to a game.
He's been to a game. All five.
And I regret it.
PM.
All right, and then.
Didn't have enough aspirin, but continue, Sam.
Yeah, and the Cubs. The Cubs, like I said, they've been looking really good. They're a half a game in front of the wild card. Like I said, this team's been hot. And also, the Diamondbacks are still holding on to that last wild card spot. They did. Like you said, they've been having some ups and downs. I remember they did have like an 8-game losing streak, I think in July, maybe it was early August. I don't remember, but they did have a really kind of skid. They had a big skid in the middle of the season. But I mean, they're still relevant. They're still here. They're in good position for that wild card spot. However, we have the Giants. The Giants have kind of been, oh, the Giants are going to be good. The Giants are going to be okay. Right now, they're 1.5 games behind the wild card right now. This Giants team has kind of seen some ups and downs, too, like over the years. Getting some talent, having really great starts, and then just kind of falling off at the end of the year. It looks like they're kind of in like a similar spot right now, but I mean, who knows? They could pull through. Like we said, we talked about the Reds earlier. They're 1.5 games. They're close, and then the next closest team is the Miami Marlins at 3 games behind. They're 66-65. Like Peter said earlier, they started hot, kind of faltered off. Really, after that, you have the Padres at 8 games. Like, that's, we're getting into unlikely territory there. So the wild card's really close, and it's kind of just going to be a mix of who wants to take it. I'm really hoping the Phillies. I'm going to speak about me as a Phillies fan again.
Getting real close.
That's why they call it
the wild card race, boys. That's why they call it the wild card race. You know, it's baseball.
I think all of them were tied at one point. I know they've had like 3 or 4 way ties before there's been some separation, especially with the Phillies and Giants playing, with the Diamondbacks and the Reds just finishing up a series where the Diamondbacks were able to kind of push ahead momentarily. But yeah, as you guys mentioned, this could be shaping up depending on teams going on runs and playing well. Could be a tight race where it could be a tiebreaker situation, but yeah, I'm with Sam. Phillies, hold on. Because that home field advantage is huge.
Oh,
you're
definitely
talking about a 4-5 matchup in the 2-3 game wild card that you need, and it's a huge advantage in that atmosphere.
It's like I said, man, that Philly environment, dude, it's complete hostility towards the other team. Like, our fans would go to jail if it meant, like, doing whatever it took to, like, get the other team off that field with a Phillies win. Like, it's crazy to be in Philly, especially in the postseason, man. So, I mean, like you said, Jake, home field advantage means so much in sports, not only baseball, but football as well. We'll talk about that later, but as a Phillies fan, it'd be great to see Phillies take that spot, but it's a race, and it's baseball. You know, you got hot and cold. You got unknown injuries that could befall any team. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in this wild card race for the NL.
Let's get over to the AL side. We're going to start with the AL East. The Orioles, I love this team too. This is a fun team to watch. The Orioles, 81-49, leading the division right now. I mean, guys like Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, I'm blanking again. Anthony Santander, just a couple of the name off the top of my head. But I mean, like, these guys, I love this team.
Phillies legend Kyle Gibson.
Kyle Gibson actually
Felix
performed
Bautista,
really well.
King
I'm
Felix.
I'm pleasantly surprised because he was not really that great for the Phillies. But he's performed pretty well. Dean Kramer has been another really good pitcher. He's pitched really well for the Orioles as well, so they're on top. But the Rays are not too far behind, 2 games behind the Orioles at 80-52. The Rays have kind of been in a really gray, like, dark area right now with some stuff going on with Wander Franco. I don't even know what to put. Very illegal stuff and very kind of disgusting in its own right. But we'll save that for another time if that story continues to develop. But right now, the Rays are kind of, they're not really focusing on that. They're focusing on making a playoff push. Isaac Paredes, Randy Arozarena, Yandy Diaz, Brandon Lau, Peter Fairbanks. This team's been performing really well. Tyler Glasnow, there we go. This team's performing really well too. And they made their, Jake's listing off because I just got to
list them all. You're killing it, Sam.
Especially when I start blanking and I can't remember. But, I mean, this team, I mean, they made it to the World Series. They made a couple of playoff runs. They've been unsuccessful in these last couple years. But this could be their time to shine. And they'd certainly have the motivation with kind of like the news going around them. They don't really have time to focus on that. But they do have time to kind of put their focus in making a playoff run. And kind of making the best out of that and trying to win a championship for this team.
Just to hold on the Rays, because I mentioned the Orioles again. I mean, that's such a fun baseball team with all of the young players with, you know, I think the big question, and can talk about it now while we're on the division leaders, the starting pitching questions. I think that's the biggest thing for the Orioles, at least heading into the season. Once they started to win all of these games, all of these starting pitchers, who are you going to give the ball to in a game one playoff series against another very good team? They traded for Jack Flaherty. You mentioned Dean Kramer, Kyle Bradish, Kyle Gibson, all of these guys kind of stepping up and taking on big roles. And a lot of them, they've pitched well. These younger guys, you have Grayson Rodriguez has been there, went down, came up again, pitching some big innings. They didn't make that big splash at the deadline for a guy like Snell, for a guy like Stroman, who's pitched in playoff games before. That's intriguing to watch, but their offense been incredible. And if Jack Flaherty, who has pitched very well so far, going from that, you know, desolate Cardinals team to now going to this great team in Baltimore, I mean, could he be the guy with that great bullpen that takes the ball in those big top games? And then for the Rays, it seems like it's the Rays' way now. We've talked about the Yankees' way. Talk about some of these other, like, storied franchises, their, quote, way. The Rays' way is always having great players, it seems, or guys that are kind of, you know, then you have some all-stars. And really, every year it seems they're 20, 15, 20 games above 500 at the top, or in this case, second in the division.
Yeah, there's two things I want to talk about before we kind of move on to the next division. First of all, the Yankees. The Yankees are sitting at 62-68, 19 games behind. They've been as embarrassing as the Mets.
I feel like the Yankees started really hot again this season, and they were looking like a powerful team. And, you know, Aaron Judge was home run leader for how long? You know, he was dealing out home runs like it's a poker game. It's just, I don't understand, where do you see the biggest falter in this Yankees team that caused them to hit this low?
I think it's kind of a couple things. One, Aaron Judge was hurt for a while. And when you lose a guy like Aaron Judge out of your offense, that kills you. I think Giancarlo Stanton has not shown up this season. I feel like he has just kind of been dead weight for this Yankees team and has not performed really at all, if like any. I'm sure he's performed, but like it's just not like that's not what they need. They kind of need him to step up. They need him to be the Bash brother to Aaron Judge, and he's just not. Pitching, I know pitching's been kind of rough. I know Nestor Cortez was hurt for a while. Carlos Rodon was hurt for a while. Luis Severino was hurt for a while and then has performed badly. But I think just kind of a combination of those three things, and I'm sure there's more, but what comes to mind right now is those three things are kind of some of the biggest. I could mention Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe is like, oh, he's going to be the next Derek Jeter. Well, that's a lot to put on a young rookie, and he's performing all right. I mean, he's batting like around 216, like, but 17 home runs, 50 RBIs. I mean, that's not terrible. I just feel like, and he's been, I believe he still has played like every game so far. I don't know. Don't quote me on that because I haven't really checked recently. But for a while, he's played in every game this season so far. I just think that that's a lot of pressure on him, and I think that has hindered his performance as well. So I'll add that. But I think a combination of those things and a couple other things have just kind of really hindered this Yankees team.
It sounds like the injuries have been the most major of these factors. I kind of feel like, I mean, I would agree. I don't follow Yankees baseball like I follow Phillies baseball, obviously. But I feel like if the injuries hadn't hindered this team as much as they have, this could be a different story, and this division could be a different story. I feel like easily the Yankees could be in third place, maybe, without the injury hiccups. Maybe third, maybe fourth place, depending on how the other teams perform. I just wanted to quickly mention, it's been so fun to watch the Orioles play. They're on pace to beat their record from last season, and, you know, like Jake said, they're an overall fun young team to watch. It's been great to see this team build over the last couple of years, just build up. You know, they had a pretty rough ride a few years ago, and it's just so great to see them performing well. And, you know, it's just this AL East, especially Tampa Bay and Baltimore, this race to go into the playoffs will be a lot of fun to watch and keep track of.
Jake, do you have anything you want to add?
No, I think on the Yankees, just as you guys really pointed out, the injuries, there hasn't been that Robin to Aaron Judge. Some of the pitchers have pitched well. Cole, especially, the bullpen hasn't been the problem. They're underperforming. And this whole idea of coming into question the quote, Yankees way, you know, that whole, you know, winning mentality, first time really under 500 in how many years. So it's been a disappointment. I think it's time to reset. It's time to reset. You have a lot of veterans with a lot of big contracts. It's time that you start getting these young players. Look at the success of these other teams we've mentioned. You have a lot of young players who are providing that youthful energy. You mentioned Volpe, but you have a lot of veteran players who are making big bucks but just are not performing, and they're just not really acquitting to their strengths as they could.
That's very fair to say. If we go to the AL Central, this division just underperforms like a lot. Okay, I don't want to say underperforms. I don't want to say they underperform a lot, but compared to everyone else, it's disappointing compared to everyone else. Right now, you have the Twins in the lead, 68-63. like they have a solid team, like Byron Buxton, Carlos Correa, and like those are the big two, kind of 1-2 punch guys for on the batter side. But and I mean, you have the Guardians. The Guardians are a decent team. Like Jose Ramirez, I don't know, man. And then like the Guardians right now are 62-69, and they're like they're second in their division. They're 6 games back from there. Like first, like this division is just. And then I don't even want to talk about the White Sox. I don't even want to down.
We will say
about the White Sox. That's
let's just give it to the Twins here. And I mean, you look at it's just a rough division. And I mean, the Twins have been good. But when you mention them in the same conversation as these other American League teams that are in playoff spots right now, they pale in comparison, to be quite frank. I mean, their pitching has, you know, you have guys like Pablo Lopez, you have Sonny Gray, both of which who have pitched to an ace level this season. But Sam, you mentioned it right there. You hit the nail on the head, the offense. The offense has been dreadful at times, and you cannot expect to win games 2-1, 2-0, 1-0. I mean, that's not going to be how it's going to be, especially in the playoffs when they're going to go against elite pitching as well. So, I mean, credit to them. They're the best out of the worst division, but it's could easily see them getting bounced in the first round by the sixth seed. That's how it's shaping up to be.
All right, I want to skip over this division. let's just skip over it.
Go right ahead, just do Sam. It, Sam. I'm not
starting. We're gonna skip over it. We're gonna go to the West. The West has been like pretty exciting, actually. We have the Mariners right now are leading at 74-56. This division's kind of been up and down. The Rangers right now are in second place, and they were leading the division for the good part of the beginning of the season, right to the All-Star break. And then after the All-Star break, we now find them at 73-57 behind the Mariners, a game back. And now, I mean, you still have the Astros too. The Astros were World Series champions last year, and right now they're sitting at 74-58. They're only a game back. Those divisions are pretty close, and then, I mean, you have the Angels and you have the Athletics. But we're not talking about them. We're talking about these three teams who are really close to clinching a division, and it's going to come down. Jake, I think it's going to come down to the wire. It's going to probably come down to the last, like, 2-3 games of the season.
I agree. I think the Mariners, they were in third place for the longest time, just trying to fight their way into a playoff spot. And Julio Rodriguez has turned it on to another level and really put the team on his back. The pitching has always been there this season, but their offense is starting to come around. And when their offense and pitching, you know, are really working in harmony on that team, they're hard to beat, really surging ahead. That just incredible what with the run that they've done. I am concerned about the Texas Rangers right now, Sam. I mean, the Astros have been 74-58. They win series. You know, some series they, you know, struggled, but they're winning most series. I see them as a wild card, even taking the division as well. Rangers are 1-9 in the last 10 games. A tough stretch for them. I think they'll make the playoffs, but I think we could see them in a third wild card spot fighting to get in, which is really could be astonishing to say based on the moves that they've made. And as you mentioned, the run that they had at the beginning, but they're starting to scare me. I think the Astros and the Mariners right now, at least percentage wise, I'm not looking at any sports book or any percentage points on Twitter or what have you, but for me, I would say I'm most confident in those two teams out of the West.
Oh, I definitely agree. And I mean, this Rangers team for a good bit of like I'd say like 10 years or so. I wouldn't say 10 years. I'd say about like maybe 8 years has kind of been the laughingstock of this West team. I mean, they made it to the playoffs against the Blue Jays. You had the Jose Bautista bat flip incident, and then they've struggled to kind of just come back to the World Series. I mean, they made the World Series in 2011 against the Cardinals. Since then, nothing really kind of to show for that. They've struggled. This has kind of been their time to come up make a deep playoff run, and I thought they were going to have a great season and make it that deep playoff run. But now it is getting scary, and it is not looking good at all. If we look to the wild card picture, like I said, we have the Orioles, the Mariners, and the Twins right now leading the division. The top holder of that wild card is Tampa Bay, and they have that top card sealed right now. I wouldn't say sealed, but it's pretty secure at 6 games ahead of everyone else for that wild card. So, I mean, I'd go as far to say that they have that locked. And this Tampa Bay Rays team has performed really well. Right now, we have the Rangers and the Astros, those two teams that we just talked about, have the two top spots in the wild card. We do have some teams who are kind of playing in the fight for those wild card spots. Right now, we have the Blue Jays at 2.5 games. They're sitting at 71-60. However, recently, Bo Bichette just went to the IL for a hamstring issue, and Matt Chapman.
Oh, again? Again? Oh.
Well, now Matt Chapman's also on the IL. I think he had like a swollen finger or something. I kind of looked at it, but I believe he's on the IL now for a swollen finger. So those two guys, two of your best defensive guys and two of your biggest offensive weapons kind of on the bench now. So we're kind of going to see how they pull out. The Red Sox right now are at 4.5 games, 69-62. They've been sitting around kind of looking for a playoff spot. They're kind of in that weird gray area middle ground thing where they're like, okay, but it's kind of, I don't know if they're going to make it to the playoffs. And then, I mean, you have the Angels at 10.5 games, but they're kind of lost. Yeah.
I think we'll keep it at that kind of five team list there. At least I would. The Blue Jays, the Rangers and the Blue Jays, I think you give it to the Rangers, but the Blue Jays offense is so inconsistent. And especially as you mentioned, you lose guys like that, it's going to be rough. And I don't think their pitching can carry them. They're only 2.5 games back, but going to have to climb a hill. So right now, I think I'm standing pat at the three teams that are in there right now to make it.
That's pretty much all I got, guys. I mean, this playoff picture is kind of heating up right now, but it's going to be interesting to see how things fall in place. You know, it's baseball, anything can happen, but it's definitely wild right now, and I'm just kind of excited to see how it plays out.
Well, we'll see how that plays out the rest of the season. Now, we'll go to division predictions. For football, final week of the preseason, just wrapping up the start of the regular season. Less than a week away, we're getting to that point. Justin, take it away.
Thank you, Jacob. And thanks, Sam, for keeping that brief. I mean, I'm pretty sure one of my kids graduated in the time it took you to do it.
Okay. Hey, Justin. Hey, listen, we all have to have our spotlight for our sections. Now I'm giving you yours.
Moving on here to the NFL side of things, where we are talking about probably one of the podcast's best sections that we do, the best segments. It is the NFL division predictions. And this year, the 2023 edition, the fourth year of it. And so let's just dive right in. We're going to start on the NFC side of things, and we're going to start with the NFC North. And for this one, I have the Detroit Lions winning it in a close race with the Chicago Bears, but I believe that the Detroit Lions will pull this one out. I think that it will be a tight division, though. I think the Green Bay Packers and Minnesota Vikings will be one or two games behind, but I think that the Detroit Lions, they just have the better team. I mean, their defense is solid. Their offense is solid. Jared Goff, he was one of the better quarterbacks at the end of last year, and I hope that he picks up that production moving forward.
Interesting. I agree with the Lions to win the division. But the Vikings, you're not. I think the Bears are going to be better, but I still think the Vikings are a better team. The defense concerns me, but their offense, I don't know. I want to hear your side of why you think the Bears are second. I agree with the Lions, Justin. I want to hear your thought process there.
My thought process here is that they made some very key additions. They got some good key additions on defense, a guy like Tremaine Edmonds to really shore up that middle linebacker spot. And then on offense, you got, Justin Fields. He took a big step last year, and I think that this year he could take another one in the passing game. And if he does that, I don't see why they couldn't be second in this division, or even first if he plays real well.
I just wanted to make sure. I have Lions, Vikings, Bears, Packers in my, if I were to make one right now.
My list coincides with Jake's. I have Lions, Vikings, Bears, and Packers. Although I can see where Justin's coming with things. Like the Bears added DJ Moore, great wide receiver threat. But I do agree that the Bears still have some building to do. Jake's right on the Minnesota Vikings side of things. The defense is a little concerning, but explosive offense, and you may say, oh, Dalvin Cook, he's gone now, but in the time that Dalvin Cook's been gone, Alexander Mattison has proven to be a very versatile running back. So I could agree with Jake's list. Justin, I acknowledge and I can see your insight as to why you chose your order, but that's my order, would be the same as Jake's.
Well, it would appear I'm the only one going a little different here. I looked at it, and I definitely agree with everybody here. This is going to be a tight division. But I'm going to just stick with the Vikings to etch it out. I don't know. I mean, definitely last year, I think that their record did not represent what they were as a team. I don't think they were as good as their record showed them to be. Obviously, they lost in the wild card to the Giants last year. But I just think that Kirk Cousins and obviously Justin Jefferson, I think that offense is just so potent that they'll be able to squeak out the division. The Lions in a very close second for me. And then, Bears and Packers are kind of right there. I think, the Bears are taking steps forward. I'm sorry, I don't see them as that, that team yet. I don't think they're quite ready to compete for the division, be like a 1-2 team in that division.
Let's move to a division that is in contention for one of the worst divisions in the NFL, the NFC South. I have the New Orleans Saints winning this division. It's not going to be very close because the rest of the teams aren't good. I mean, the Saints aren't great, but they're the best in this division. I next have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, then the Carolina Panthers and Atlanta Falcons scraping the bottom.
I agree that the Saints are going to take it. As you mentioned, I think they're the best of the worst. I am going to put the Atlanta Falcons at 2. They made a lot of good additions in free agency. They've drafted well. I think they're a team that maybe end of the season could be in that like game back of the Saints, and it's like a late season Saints take the win. I'm not saying I'm the biggest believer in Desmond Ridder, but this is the opportunity. I mean, you got an exciting young running back. I think Drake London is going to be a good wide receiver. I could see the Falcons finishing in 2 at the highest as a ceiling, but have that potential. I mean, the Bucs are talented, but the quarterback is the question. And it's like that or the Panthers. You got the Panthers with a rookie quarterback, Bryce Young, who has that excitement. They added some nice veterans on the offensive side. The defense is that kind of middle of the pack with some potential. I'll go with the Bucks and Panthers, but there's some young kind of promise. But as you mentioned, it's still not great. But I'm going to put the Falcons at 2.
Jay kind of voiced my thought process here a little bit with some minor modifications. I say Saints win this division. It's like everyone's just saying, the best of the worst division in the NFC, at least. My thought process here is the fact that the Buccaneers needed to have a battle for quarterback between Kyle Trask and Baker Mayfield and watching some of
it's concerning.
Freaking Chris Godwin's gonna be down the field and the ball's gonna be 60 yards behind him, and Mike Evans is gonna be running routes for no good reason. It's really hard, and you got a Leonard Fournette who God knows what he's doing. I think he's a free agent, is he?
I think so.
You know what? I'm going to hold out hope for Bryce Young here, and I'm going to say the Saints, the Falcons, the Panthers, and the Bucks. I want to see what CJ Stroud could do. Wow. I mean, it's going to be close between the Bucks and the Panthers. Bryce Young. To see who takes. Oh, sorry, Bryce Young. My name, it's going to be tough to see, to watch this division, period. But I'll hold out hope for the rookie quarterback, and I hope the Buccaneers can get whatever they need to get straightened out. But it's looking like the Saints will take this division for me.
Yeah, this is a easy, clean sweep. I mean, the Saints are the best team in this division. Obviously, Derek Carr, coming in his first year with the team. They've got Olave. They still got Michael Thomas. Alvin Kamara, he's suspended. Presumably, will be back. I mean, the team is going to be the best.
Jamal Williams.
Yeah, Jamal Williams, nice addition there as well. So I think the Saints will win this division comfortably. Honestly, behind that, it's just kind of a mess. I think, a little more faith. I mean, in the Bucks, I don't know why. Maybe it's just because, I feel like the two veteran receivers, Godwin and Evans, will help whatever quarterback plays for them. I think it'll be Baker. And I think he'll settle in eventually.
I think it is. I think they made him the week one.
Yeah, I think it'll definitely, And I think he'll be all right. So for that reason, I just, I'm going to go Bucks at 2, Falcons 3, and then Carolina 4. I just think that Carolina, Bryce Young's first year, it's going to be a rough one. I don't think they have much to look forward to this year down there.
Then let's talk about switching pace here. One of the better divisions in the NFL, the NFC East, where I have the Philadelphia Eagles taking the division with the New York Giants right behind them, followed by the Dallas Cowboys and then the Washington Commanders at the bottom.
Wow.
Interesting.
Wow.
It's close. I'm going to go Commanders. Commander, I think, is the kind of ubiquitous bottom choice here. And they have a good defense. They'll probably win games based on their defense alone. And I'm somewhat excited to see if Sam Howell can take some sort of jump, especially with the guys they still have on offense, a solid offense, but just the division they're in. It's tough. I would love to pick the Giants too, but it just feels like the Cowboys are just that slightly better team, at least on paper. Don't know how it's going to play out. I like the Giants' addition of Darren Waller. I think they're going to be a 9-10 win team, but it's really tough. And the Cowboys made good additions as well in the free agency. I'm going to, again, bias aside, I think the Eagles win the division, but fewer wins, I think, than maybe some expect. They have a tougher schedule, maybe 11, 12. I'm going to go with Cowboys and Giants. People, you can ratio me after the season if the Giants finish higher, but that's on paper what I'm going with right now.
Justin really made me think. I kind of threw me for a loop there for a second. Like I said,
I'm not the media. I don't need to suck off Cowboys.
No, bias aside, Eagles take the division. I think that adding DeAndre Swift, adding Penny, having two more Georgia Bulldogs who, again, won a national championship with crazy defensive skill and talent, I think that the Eagles show up again and they're gunning for that clinch in the division and, eventually, hopefully make it back to the Super Bowl and change the tide a little bit from last year. But, looking at this Giants team, I can see where Justin's coming from. Darren Waller, huge add at tight end. Talk about great young talent at the tight end position. He's there. I think that Daniel Jones will keep making strides in his quarterbacking. Saquon Barkley, that whole running back situation sort of got figured out. So I think that he'll do well. And if he stays injury free, he could be one of the lead rushers in the NFC, I think. They have a really good offensive line from last year's draft, that is. And then looking at the Dallas Cowboys team, they just recently traded for the worst draft pick of all time. The biggest waste of a draft pick, I think. But you got Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Tony Pollard, man. Talk about a guy who just showed up and showed what he was made of. Tony Pollard is an amazing running back, and it pains me to say these things because I hate the Cowboys with a burning passion, but you can't deny the stats. It's interesting to see what the Cowboys will do. My prediction is the Eagles will take it. Cowboys and Giants, I'm putting the Cowboys one game above the Giants. It'll be the Giants, and then the Commanders will be the 4.
Well, gentlemen, another sweep here. The Eagles, of course, I think they're going to take this division. I think they're the best team in the NFC, without a doubt. I see what you guys are saying, maybe, about the Cowboys, but what it comes down to is, honestly, I don't think Dak Prescott's that good. Daniel Jones is a better quarterback. Giants are going to win more games. Simple as that, from my perspective. So, for me, it goes Eagles, Giants, the Cowgirls, and then the Commanders. Like you said, Jake, they have a good defense in Washington. It's just the offense, you know, is, you got to see what happens there. And they're in a tough division, so they'll finish bottom. But, yeah, Eagles, Giants, you know, definitely my top two in the NFC East.
Great picks, guys. Let's move on to the NFC West, where I'm calling Brock the Rock, starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, going to lead them to another division title there. I'm going to have number two, the Seattle Seahawks. Three for me is going to be Los Angeles Rams, hoping they have a better season last year. And then at number four, I have Arizona Cardinals, likely to be one of the worst teams in the league.
I agree. That is where you are right, Justin. I agree with all of your picks. 49ers, unstoppable team. I believe they're going to be another juggernaut. Just, again, those questions at quarterback. Purdy with a whole season now where he's the guy. You trade away Trey Lance to the Cowboys. You have Sam Darnold. We know they're not going to give him the start unless an injury occurs. It's the Purdy show now, and hopefully it goes Purdy for the 49ers, but they have the weapons around them, and the defense is going to be great. I agree. Seahawks, I think they're going to be one of the top wild card teams. And the Rams, I think that's the team we look at, and it was a terrible year last year, to put it frank. And, you know, does Matthew Stafford have anything left in the tank? They sacrificed all of this for a championship, and now they're really reaping the, okay, they used all of these draft picks. You've got aging guys. You still have some talented players like Kupp and Donald, but the depth around it is really starting to show. And can they make another 7, 8, maybe 9 win season at max, perhaps, to potentially get the playoffs is a question.
I agree with the order here. The 49ers take the division win. They're a fun team to watch. They will definitely be the Eagles' biggest hurdle coming to the NFC, who takes it in the end. Like Jake and Justin both mentioned, Brock Purdy, man, he's proven himself to be clutch in tight situations, and he came up and he showed up and he showed out when he was needed for the 49ers. But what will a whole season do to him? Can he withstand a full season? Because, you know, he's taken some hits, he's taken some damage, he got injured by the Eagles last year. It'll be a matter of stamina, and like we said, he's got the weapons around him to do it. Brandon Ayuk, in my opinion, one of the a fairly well-rounded receiver. He's got power, he's got great route running abilities. Debo Samuel, I mean, he's literally a wide receiver built like a halfback, and a man can plow over anybody. He's fast. He's got the hands. George Kittle, if he can stay healthy, great tight end. Always very amusing to watch. And you got that defense, man. A very big defensive threat for the 49ers. They'll be fun to watch. I agree the Seahawks will be a wild card contender, if not in the top, one of the top wild card spots. Geno Smith, really fun to watch. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. You got Jackson Smith, right? Smith Njigba, I think is how you say his full last name. I'll be really excited to see how he fits into that offense. Pete Carroll, you know, rolling in a whole another season with a young guy, seeing how well they do. And then I agree with Jake, hoping for the Rams to be able to do something more this year. It'll be good to have Cooper Kupp back and Matt Stafford back. Both of them were injured for a period of time last year, and that kind of rattled up the offense a little bit. So hopefully we can see a little bit more from the Rams. And like you said, that was a lot of draft picks to just throw in on a championship. So making anything out of it that they can will be great. And the Arizona Cardinals, they need to restructure. In my opinion, whether it's coaching, whether it's revamping players, it's hard. And in my opinion, they need to rebuild.
Yeah. I mean, once again, guys, I don't think that there's really any debate here. The 49ers will win this division, I think. It will be interesting to see how Brock Purdy performs in his first full season as starter, especially, you know, coming off an injury. We'll see how it goes, but I have enough confidence and faith in the supporting cast around him that any trouble he may have, they'll be able to get through it, work through it. The defense is just outstanding in San Francisco, and like you said, the weapons on offense, you know, are really second to none. Going to be, you know, interesting to see, you know, second spot, if the Rams can get back to what they were. Don't think it will be. I have the Seahawks going second, and I think that they'll be a wild card team this year like they were last year. As you said, Peter, Jackson, Smith, and Jigba joining that offense. For, you know, he was quite stellar at Ohio State, you know, in the past, so I think that he's a nice addition. The Rams at three, you know, we'll see what they do, see how good they actually are. Maybe they can make a push for a wild card this year. Maybe not. Depends on what they have left in the tank. And then the Cardinals, you know, the lowly Cardinals will finish bottom of the division.
Let's talk quick about my playoff predictions here early on. I have the Philadelphia Eagles sitting at the one seed, but the Niners not far behind in the two. I think it could go either way. It's obviously it's too early in the season to call this, but I think that the NFC is going to run between those two, and then I have the Detroit Lions in the third seed, New Orleans Saints at the four, and then the wild card, I have the Giants at five, Chicago Bears at six, and Dallas Cowboys sitting in the seven.
Wow. Bears as a playoff team in addition. That's okay. Interesting.
I'm showing a little bit of faith.
I hope it happens. Six seed. Da Bears. I'd love to see it. I'm just surprised. That's all. That the dark horse. Sorry, not dark horses with Peter. That's a dark horse. Oh man. Based on what I have, I'll go. You know what? 49ers take the first seed. I think the Eagles are going to be number two. I think the tougher schedule. They might lose a few more games, might drop down to the two spot. The three seed, I will go with the Lions. The four seed, I will go with the Saints. And then wild card teams, I think they're going to be three teams from the NFC East. I'm going to go with the Cowboys, the Giants. It's going to be tough with that division record, but I think it's possible. I think it's possible. And then the last team is the Seahawks. I think those are the best teams, and that's how I have it playing out.
Yeah, my list is fairly close to Jacob's, although it's a toss-up between Eagles and Niners. It just varies on who does what in the season, how well the season plays out. It's 18 weeks. Everything changes every single Sunday, no matter what happens, so we never know, but I got Eagles going at one, Niners at two, Lions at three, Saints four, and then I have the Seahawks in there. I have the Minnesota Vikings, and then I have the New York Giants. Because screw you, Dallas. I don't want you in the frickin' postseason. Screw you, Dallas. I've taken the Giants over Dallas.
That's interesting, Peter, because I believe you said that Dallas would finish a game above the Giants in the standings.
Hey, man, I'm going to hold out hope.
So you're switching up on us.
Yeah, switching up. So the Giants are going to finish above the Cowboys, right?
We'll see. I'm wavering, man. I'm wavering here. One game.
Ask him again in 5 minutes.
He'll change his mind, yeah. Fairly simple here. I mean, I agree with Jake. I think the Eagles are the best team in the NFC, but I think that their schedule is more difficult than the Niners. So for that reason, I think the Niners might edge them out for the one seed by like a game. Eagles two. I have the Vikings three because I think the Vikings are going to win the North. Then Saints four. In my wild card slot, I got Giants, Lions, and then, yeah, the Seahawks. See ya, Dallas. They're not making it.
All right, now let's move over to the gauntlet that is the AFC. And let's start off with one of the most competitive divisions in the National Football League, the AFC North. We are going to have the Cincinnati Bengals taking this division, of course. But for number two, hear this, Cam. I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And at three, I'm taking the Ravens. And four is going to be the Cleveland Browns. Again, not a great team.
Folks, check out the behind the scenes because Jacob's reaction is candid.
I like the Steelers. I think they're going to take a jump. to number two over a still a good team in the Ravens. All right, I believe that the Bengals are one. I agree with you. We're not splitting hairs with that one. The Steelers going up for, I think Kenny Pickett can take a step forward. Is it a step forward enough to leap over two good veteran quarterbacks? I think Deshaun Watson has taken a step back. I think Lamar Jackson is still very good, but those are two very good quarterbacks that he's have to lead his team over. I think it's a tough division, but I go Bengals. I still think the Ravens are sitting at that two spot. I think Lamar is going to have that prove it year. He has some more weapons now with Zay Flowers in there. I think OBJ is, he's not going to be the OBJ of past, but he's still going to play well. Mark Andrews as well. Their defense is always middle of the pack and helps them win some games. I think the Steelers could finish third and the Browns at fourth. I think, you know, there's a battle there, but Steelers at two. That's interesting, Justin. I like it. Steelers and Bears having good years. It's
gotta go bold, man. You gotta go bold.
Okay, yeah.
Bengals, I think, I can't speak for Nate. I think it'll be all of our clear-cut winners of the division. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon. Irv Smith Jr., new tight end in there. I think the Bengals have a great all-around offense, threatening offense with so many options. So I think the Bengals will clearly get the win in that division. I have to agree with Jake. Baltimore Ravens take two. Lamar Jackson has the new weapons he needs. Still some wavering around the running back injury situation, recovering from injury with J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, but like Jake said, I mean, new weapons for Lamar. He's got something to prove now, you know. Lamar's got something to prove. He's got, and I agree, OBJ is not the OBJ we saw in the Giants, and he'll be a good viable wide receiver option for them, but Zay Flowers will be a lot of fun to watch. Mark Andrews, always consistently a good tight end safety net option there. Justin, addressing the Steelers, I agree. They're going to make a jump. Improvements made where they need to be made at the O-line. Hopefully Najee Harris can actually have a decent season because he is a really good running back, you know, looking at statistics-wise and his talents. Kenny Pickett will take a jump, hopefully, for them. And that defense, I mean, the Steelers defense is a really good defense on paper. You know, T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, you know, you got all these guys, Micah Fitzpatrick, you got these guys that attack the ball, they attack the wide receivers, and they're gunning for these turnovers constantly, which is awesome to see out of a defense, but I can't see the Steelers making that big of a jump this year. The Browns, you know, Nick Chubb will have a good year, I believe, because he is the clear-cut RB1 now of that team. It's no more Nick Chubb-Kareem Hunt battle for touches. But my prediction would have to be the Bengals, the Ravens, the Steelers, and then the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. And, you know, I'm going to agree. The Bengals, quite simply, are the best team in this division. They're going to win it. I mean, the thing with the Steelers, listen, they have an easy schedule. Easy schedule, which is why you could make the argument for that two spot. But are they a better team than the Ravens? No. The Ravens are a better football team than the Steelers at this moment in time. They have a better quarterback. And, you know, I think that they have more experience, as we've been talking about, and I think that'll pay dividends. So I'm going to put them in the two spot to edge the Steelers. Steelers at three, I think, is fair. But don't sleep on the Browns. The Browns are gonna make it tight. You know, Deshaun Watson's first full season as a starting quarterback for the Browns, after everything, you know, that's happened with him. They have a decent offense, you know, with Amari Cooper, and they have Nick Chubb in the backfield. I'm interested to see what they do and how they perform. But I do think that they'll finish ultimately at the bottom of the division. However, it's going to be, like Justin said, it's going to be a very competitive division, and I'm excited to see how it plays out.
Then let's talk about a less competitive division, the AFC South. I think we're going to call this pretty similarly. The Jacksonville Jaguars are going to take this one. Tennessee Titans for two for me. Indianapolis Colts sitting at three. And the Houston Texans sitting at four. I think Houston Texans will be the worst team in the league, but don't quote me.
Wait. Both AFC and NFC? Because I know the Cardinals will be there as well. I agree. I agree. Another agreement here, Justin. I think it's Jacksonville, Tennessee, the Colts, and the Texans. You've got two rookie quarterbacks in there. You've got a lot of young quarterbacks in that division alone, and with the Titans, with the amount of young QBs that they have, and of course Trevor Lawrence, who right now is the leader in the pack with this very young and good Jaguars team. That's offense is very exciting. Their defense made strides towards the end of the season. I'm really excited to see how Calvin Ridley does in a Jaguars uniform. Has looked very well in videos. Travis Etienne really emerged as a top, you could make the case, a top 10 back in the league the way he performed last season after coming back from injury. So, yeah, I agree with that list, Justin. Well done.
Jacksonville, clear-cut number one in that division. Great to see Trevor Lawrence showing up and showing out last year. Especially, like Dick said, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch Calvin Ridley play again. I liked watching him when he was in Atlanta. Extreme amount of talent there. I consider him a vet. So he's got the knowledge to pass down to those young wide receivers. And, you know, Travis Etienne's got a great burst of speed, and he's got the power, elusiveness that they need. And then you got a Super Bowl winning coach at their head of the station, Doug Peterson. I mean, he's shifted over there and managed to transform that team into a viable threat last year, and I was fairly impressed. I have the Tennessee Titans going second. With that being said, hopefully the injuries with Treylon Burks was helped off the field in one of the games. Apparent leg injury or some sort. I'm hoping that everything shapes up with that. It'll be fun to see if Ryan Tannehill will take the reins, I think, again this season. But between maybe Malik Willis and Will Levis, I mean, I'd love to see Will Levis get a shot at something, maybe, you know, just to see what he does, but I don't think we will. Indianapolis Colts and Houston Texans, in my opinion, will be a bottom. I think ultimately the Texans will end at the bottom. You know, you got C.J. Stroud there. It's going to be fun to see Will Anderson play. I'm looking forward to seeing how much of an impact he makes on that defense, but you still got a lot to figure out there with the rebuilding of the Houston Texans team. It'll be a lot of fun to see Anthony Richardson play for the Colts, taking the reins at their head QB position. So I think I am in agreement with Justin and Jacob here.
Well, okay. Yeah. Obviously, I mean, this is the easiest division to predict, guys. Let's be real here. I mean, the Jaguars should win this one without any issue. Titans at two. We'll see what happens with them. But honestly, I don't think they're going to be that great. Going to be a mid-team. Then you're going to have the Colts at three. And like you said, Texans at four. It's a long rebuild for those guys. I mean, we'll see. But CJ Stroud in his first year, it's going to be rough. So
let's move on then to a division that I think will spark some controversy here. One of the toughest in the league, the AFC East. I'm of course going to go with the Buffalo Bills winning the division, followed by the New York Jets with some brilliant additions, then the Miami Dolphins at three, and the New England Patriots sitting at four.
Interesting. I believe that the Bills will win the division as well. I think that they have the talent still. In a division that's starting to build up, especially with a lot of the other teams, I'm not picking against them. They are going to be the top spot. The Patriots, I am going to, right, like we did with the other East Division, top, bottom. I think we agree. I am not writing off the Dolphins yet. I'm not writing off the Dolphins. I'm not writing off Tua yet. As much as the Jets have improved, as much as the Jets, I think, again, could be a ceiling of a 8, 9, 10 win team, I got to go Bills, Dolphins, Jets, Patriots. I'm not counting Tua out. They added, I know Jalen Ramsey is going to be out. They didn't have a great draft, but they still have two burners on the outside in Hill and Waddle. I'm not, until the Dolphins could disappoint and potentially disappoint again, I'm not picking them to fall any lower.
Here's the thing. I think the Bills take this division. The Bills, Josh Allen at the reins. You know, you got Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis proving to be that wide receiver two threat. It'll be really fun to see their young tight end come into play and see how he does. I'm looking forward to it. And James Cook, new running back, Dalvin's younger brother. Seeing those two brothers in the same division fighting will be a lot of fun. But I have the Bills, and much like Jacob said, I am not running off the Miami Dolphins. I am putting them at my number two spot because when Tua was not concussed to the point of not knowing where he was or what year it was, or that he was even in this millennium, Tua and Tyreek and Waddle have proven to have amazing connections. And if, I mean, you got Tyreek Hill, the fastest man in the NFL. You got Jalen Waddle, who's got amazing hands and footwork. You don't have Mike Gesicki anymore, which in all reality, Mike Gesicki was a safety net, but I think that that tight end position will again be a safety net. But, and Jalen Ramsey addition, Eli Apple addition. Eli Apple is a good defensive player. I mean, he's had his struggles, right? Every NFL player does. Hopefully Tua can stay healthy this season, all season long, and the Dolphins can put up a little bit of a fight. I see the Jets coming at three. It'll be so much fun to see Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, chemistry, you know, hooking up again with Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb and having Dalvin Cook at running back. I mean, on paper, that's a threatening offense with that young talent and two vets in the backfield of Aaron Rodgers and Dalvin Cook. But I just see the Dolphins taking the second, Jets taking the third. New England Patriots don't see that jump yet to take that third spot, so that's why I have him in the fourth.
Well, you know, Justin, I came into this and I looked at the Jets' schedule and I looked at the Bills' schedule. And I was looking for a reason just to put the Jets above the Bills, mainly to spite you. but I'm going to be honest with you. The Jets' schedule is, you know, probably just as tough, you know, pretty close in, you know, toughness, I'd say, to the Bills. They both play some very tough teams. And the fact that, you know, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers' first year with the Jets, and the fact that they have a lot of young players on the team, whereas, you know, the Bills have been together, they've been this group for a while, more experienced. I'm going to go Bills at one. I think they'll take the division. It's going to be tough. Like we said, tough schedule. So, you know, maybe looking at maybe a 10 or 11 win season only, but Bills will take it. Guys, I'm sorry. Dolphins, like, you're praying that Tua doesn't get hit in the head again, because if that man does, his career could be over for all we know. So I can't ride with them at two. I'm going the Jets. I think the Jets have a better quarterback. I'm gonna be honest, Aaron Rodgers, when at his best, is better than Tua. And I think that their defense, you know, whilst young, is better. So I'm going to go Jets two. Dolphins three. Again, Tua. Hopefully he can stay healthy and, you know, stay out of the hospital, but we'll see what happens. And then the Patriots at four. They're always a tough team, but their offense is just is lacking, in my opinion. So they'll just finish bottom of the pack.
All right, now let's move to the easiest division in the NFL to pick, the AFC West. No sugarcoating this one. The Kansas City Chiefs are taking this division. I would bet my life on that. Number two is going to be the Los Angeles Chargers. Three, the Denver Broncos, and then number four, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Some high stakes there, Justin.
Yeah.
Wow.
As long as Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback of that team, they will win that division. If he does not go down, my life is on the line and I will survive.
Okay. I agree again. I think that the Chiefs, I would not be surprised. This is the best case scenario. Nate is going to smile in a second. Broncos could finish second. All right. Best case scenario is Sean Payton, like, is the godsend that this team needs. Russ Wilson proves that last year was a fluke. They still have a lot of they have some talent on that team. That if, you know, Sean Payton, as Nate's cooking over there, if he can cook some magic.
I'm not the only one who's going to be cooking this year, Jake.
This team has disappointed us in the past, and I don't think Staley is a good head coach. So I think that there is a world. I don't know if I'm going to pick it. I just want to put that out there. Chargers, Broncos, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos creep into that. There's a world that I will say where the Broncos...
What world are we living in, Jake?
I just don't think that's the world we live in. You know, that's just me. Justin Herbert's pretty good.
I'm going to go Chargers, Broncos, Raiders. I just want to put that out there. I think it's a possibility. It's a possibility.
For my buddy Nate's sake, I hope the Broncos have a better season than Sean Payton. But that's not going to change my mind. Chiefs take the division. Like Justin said, Patrick Mahomes working his magic. And Travis Kelce, huge threat to that team. Talk about two men you can find to carry that offense, most of that offensive load. It'll be fun to see Isaiah Pacheco again play. He was a pretty elusive back last year. So I'll take the Chiefs at one, Chargers at two. I feel as if Justin Herbert might put up some amazing numbers this year. You got Quentin Johnson out of that team. Keenan Allen, Lord knows he cannot tear that stupid hamstring again. But if Keenan Allen can stay healthy and Mike Williams proven to be really foundational, solid wide receiver too for that squad. I mean, Austin Eckler proved himself to be a really reliable backfield runner. I feel like the Chargers could put up a really big fight, but they won't make it to number one, maybe two, three games behind the Chiefs. So I say Chiefs, Chargers, the Broncos. Let's hope Sean Payton can work some magic there. And, you know, for Nate's sake, let's just hope Russell Wilson's ride didn't crash and burn. And then the Raiders. The Raiders, you know, switch up with Jimmy Garoppolo there. We'll see who goes to jail next on that team. But I really feel like this is a pretty clear-cut 1-2-3 of the Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos. It's the Raiders being out last.
My friends, the time has come.
Was I cooking something right, Nate?
Something. Do you smell that? You smell that? Something's cooking. Something's cooking out there in Denver. And he goes by the name of Russell Wilson. Unfortunately, the Chiefs will win the division because they have Patrick Mahomes. However, it's going to be tight for that second spot, gentlemen. It's going to be very tight. Ah, screw it. I'm going with the Broncos. The Broncos are going to finish second. All right. As much as I want to say the Chargers, screw it. I'm going to say the Broncos. Russ is going to cook this year. I have faith. Sean Payton's coming in. He's going to revamp the offense. Unfortunately, you know, we've had some injuries in the receiving department as of recently.
Jerry Jeudy, right?
Jerry Jeudy, you know, has hamstring injury. Tim Patrick Achilles a week or two ago after coming back from an injury. So they're looking a little thin there. But I do believe that the Broncos have a good defense. Like, they had a good defense last year. The reason they lost games was not because of their defense. It was because their offense was abysmal. It was terrible. I'm not afraid to say that. It was garbage. Might have been the worst in the NFL. Well, better than the Texans, but bad. The Chargers, I love the offense. I mean, I love, you know, Justin Herbert, Oregon alum there, but I don't know. Coming off of that deflating wild card loss last year to the Jaguars, maybe carry some negative energy into the start of this year. I could see that potentially happening, and, you know, maybe they just, you know, miss out of second place by a game, I think it'd be. And then I think the Raiders finish four. But, yeah, screw it. I'll take the Broncos, too. So Chiefs 1, Broncos 2, Chargers 3, close, and then Raiders 4.
All right, let's talk about the AFC playoff prediction here. I have the Chiefs sitting at number 1. First year since 2020, I haven't picked the Bills at number 1. But I do have them sitting at number 2. Then the Cincinnati Bengals at 3. And the Jacksonville Jaguars at 4. And then with my wildcard teams, like I said, I had Pittsburgh high. You didn't think I had them this high. They're number 5 for me. The New York Jets then sitting at 6. And the Los Angeles Chargers rounding us out at 7.
Given the love to the storied franchises, the Steelers and the Bears back in it, I love to hear it. Will it happen in my eyes? I don't know. But I'd love to see it, Justin. For the seeds, for me, I would go Chiefs, the Bengals. It'll depend on the schedule. It'll depend on the wins and losses. They've been neck and neck for 2 and 3 the past however many years. It's tough. I'm going to go Bengals, Bills, Jags at 4, and then wild card. I'm going to put the Chargers in there at 5. I had them as the 2 spot in this hypothetical scenario. I'm going to go Ravens at 6, and I'm going to say Dolphins sneak into that final spot and the Jets miss.
My mind right now is clearly Chiefs 1. Those Bengals fight for 2 if one or the other doesn't get it. The latter will be the 3rd. I think, like Jake said, it will depend on the schedules. I don't mean this in any offense to Justin, but it's going to be the Chiefs, the Bengals, Bills. And it could change. It's a game. It's like it's going to be a nail-biter to see who gets that 2 seed in my mind. But Chiefs, Bengals, Bills, Jaguars, and then my wild card predictions would have to be the Chargers, followed by, I think, the Dolphins. And then, you know what? Just to mess around a little bit, let's throw the Broncos in there, because why the heck
yeah,
not?
Yeah, boy.
It was some sort of miracle. Why the heck not? I mean, it's... it's one of the
Peter, you're smelling it. You're smelling it, man.
You're stepping it, Peter. You're stepping it right now.
Yes,
sir. If Sean Payton can make some of your clap, it'll be that. But as a backup, I think that, you know, I think it'll be the Jets at that last wild card spot. So either the Broncos or the Jets.
Boy, you know, I don't know what Justin's been smoking tonight, but I wish he'd give me some of it because I could really use it. However, I will say that the Chiefs, yeah, they're going to finish 1. And this is purely based on their schedule. Justin, the Bills just have a tougher schedule. So Bengals 2, Bills 3, and then Jaguars at 4. And then my wild card teams, I got the Jets. You guys, you know, some of you guys are riding real low on the Jets. I think the Jets are in there for sure in the wild card this year. I got the Ravens. And then we're cooking, baby. We're cooking out of Denver. The Broncos are going to sneak in there. Maybe. We'll see. But, you know, it's all for fun.
Wow. I mean, what a segment. What a segment, gentlemen. That we'll see how everything plays out. A lot of playoff hopefuls there. In our picks, we'll see how everything plays out as the NFL season starting up in essentially just about a week, less than a week at this point in time. Now we're moving on to everyone else's another favorite football, and college football. Getting started, Nate donning the Penn State hat there. Let's dive in final segment here a little bit. Some teams, I'll run through some rankings here. Talk about maybe some standout, some dark horse teams to get into the college football playoff at the season's end. You got Georgia, the reigning champion, sitting in at 1. You got Michigan at 2. Ohio State, 2. Big Ten teams, 2 and 3. Alabama, LSU finishing out the top 5. Penn State slotting in there at 7. Have some Penn Staters here, Nate and Justin as well. Some teams, you know, some good teams. Oregon for Nate, sitting in at 15 in the preseason rankings. Notre Dame 1-0 after a convincing win over Navy yesterday. But guys, any teams, maybe some dark horse teams? Really the dark horse episode with all of the MLB predictions, with the predictions in the NFL. Is there a team that you think could sneak in? Maybe not to the 4, could be into the 4. Top 10 even in the rankings this season?
Well, Jake, I mean, there are certainly plenty of interesting teams out there this year. College football is always such a fun, you know, a fun ride for all who enjoy it. And I think that the AP Top 25 as it stands is pretty solid. You know, there's not much to debate there, I would say. I think maybe a surprise team, though, or a dark horse that we could see sneak into the top 4 that some people don't necessarily have. I think that you might see the return of the Clemson Tigers this year. I think that in the ACC, you know, it's going to be a battle between them and Florida State. But outside of that, I think Clemson, I think they'll beat Florida State. I think they'll be able to take the ACC. And, you know, just the experience that Dabo brings, and they're able to get the quarterback, what's his name, Klubnik or something. I don't know if I pronounced his name right. But, you know, he was quite good last year when he did play, and I think that he'll take another step this year for the team. And I could see them, you know, being a one-loss team, vying for a top four playoff spot this year. You know, I think that that's completely plausible.
You know what? I'm going to stay right there in the ACC. Nate, you mentioned the return of the Seminoles for Florida State. I mean, we talked about how long this team, just these rebuilding years, the unlike the storied college football program that they had in the late 90s, the early 2000s, Jameis Winston, with before his Eaton W's days down in Florida State, the wins that he racked up and the teams that they put together back inside that top 10, a resurgence end to the year last year, played very well. You know, college football, I think, is going to be great when you have a great Florida State team and vying it out with Clemson at the very end. They're a team right there. I'm going to go to the other team in the ACC to, you know, whoever wins. Got Alabama in the mix. You've got the two Big Ten teams. But depending on how it plays out, I think you could see one of those two ACC teams getting in.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Because, you know, the SEC is always a gauntlet. It's going to be challenging. But like you said, I mean, I don't know. I think Michigan's going to take the Big Ten. I think they're the best team in the Big Ten this year. I know it's rare to see them win the Big Ten 3 years in a row, but I think that they'll get it done. Just based on the experience they have, which, you know, pains me to say, of course, but I think that's what's going to happen. Penn State, you know, we're going to be there. It's going to be tough. Michigan's going to be a really tough task, as will Ohio State. Those will be our big challenges, but I can legitimately, see a scenario where the ACC champion, whether it be Florida State or Clemson, you know, if they're at a one loss and, you know, play each other, you know, winner gets in, I think. And don't forget, Florida State does open with a game against LSU this year. That's going to be a big game at the start of the season. Really going to, you know, determine how those two teams, both of which are in the top 10, how their seasons are going to play out.
Yeah, a Sunday night on ABC, a wonderful resume builder on either side. I mean, It's gonna be tight, and I think as we mentioned, one of those teams could be in the fold. That will do it for this episode of the Lunch Hour Sports Podcast. Nearly an hour and a half, over an hour and a half long. Thank you so much for listening with us, whether it was at the beginning, the middle, the end, or all of it. Thank you for listening to another great episode of all the guys, the original crew, getting back together for one episode here before the school year starts. Thank you all for listening. You can tune in to future episodes on Spotify and YouTube. Again, from all of us, thank you for listening.